In times past, brethren, we have called upon our brother Sunbaum of Saginaw Mission to serve it. And we have found that he has manifested the Spirit of the Lord and has prepared spiritual food which has indeed been a blessing to us. And we have called upon him again to come and serve. And we look again with anticipation for him to fill certain of our spiritual needs. Well, he has chosen for his topic today the text found in 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 17. And he entitles this topic, The Inward Man. And I'll turn this meeting over to our brother Chester Sunbaum.
Thank you. We've also been very greatly blessed at this convention. It's been an encouragement to us to press on in the narrow way, endeavoring to be as faithful as possible the remaining years that are appointed me this side of the veil. We're going to read these two verses, 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He's talking here about, when he speaks about the inner man, I'm sure we all know what he's talking about. He's talking about the new creature which will be born in the first resurrection. That Jesus was the firstborn from the dead, as we read in Colossians 1:18. And this is a brand new creation of God, something entirely different from every other creation. And we believe it will be the masterpiece, as far as we can discern from the scriptures, the masterpiece of God's creation. We might call it the divine family. This we know, there's one topic the brethren have used occasionally, the oneness of the divine family. And I like that expression. And it's suggested by our Lord in Luke 8:19 to 21, even though he does not put it in these words. He was in a great crowd, and his disciples came to him and said that your mother and your brother are outside, and they want to see you. And so he made this statement, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. That, I think, is the very clear thought of the divine family, that thought of the one divine family. And remember how Jesus told his disciples that God was their Father, again showing that wonderful thought. He said, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Now, one of the things we've learned in the wonderful harvest message, and I think very important, and that is the thought of natures being distinct. When we were in the systems, there was that confusion of nature and soul and all these things, and body and spirit, and all mixed up. But when we got that wonderful explanation of the natures distinct, it clarified so much for us. And how much in harmony is that with our Lord's words in John 3:6. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. There isn't any mingling of the two at all. Now, this new creation, we have it suggested in our manna for October the 10th. Only in the mind have old things passed away and all things become new. It's right up here in our mind. We know that we don't look very different from other people. And we know that we have similar experiences. But there is the great difference is up here in the mind, and it's in the hope that we have. And the fact that that hope is based upon the promises of God, upon the sure word, that is what distinguishes the Lord's people from all others. They're begotten of God's Spirit. And we have another suggestion from Brother Russell's pen in page 485 of the sixth volume. He says, the new creature consists at first merely of a newly begotten will. That's all there is to it. Just a newly begotten will. Now, this is, of course, very important. Those that even think about human behavior know how important the will is. I read about one time about a young man that was injured in a disaster. And he was laying in a cot there with a number of other people that were injured. And there was a doctor walking among them and ministering to them. And this young man was watching this doctor, and he was greatly interested. So he said to himself, well, that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to be a doctor, and I'd like to be able to help other people. He'd never had any special profession of any kind, but here was something that just appealed to him. So he asked this doctor afterwards, just what do I have to do to become a doctor? And so he was told that he'd have to do a lot of study, that he would have to go to college for many years and get a lot of experience, and it wasn't an easy thing to do. But the more he thought about it, the more he thought, well, that's what I'd like to do. And so he eventually made his decision that no matter what it cost, he was going to do that. He was told that he might have to work his way through college and all that. But he finally made that decision that he was going to do that. And the important thing, he carried out that decision and he became successful in his chosen profession. Well, now we can say from one standpoint that when he made that decision, he began to be a doctor, began in his profession. And so it is true with us when we make the decision that Brother Russell is speaking about here, and in addition, it is spirit begotten, that begins us as a new creature. Now, the new creature begins in a seemingly natural way. Our Lord tells us about in the parable of the sower that the word of the kingdom is sent forth in all the earth. That word of the kingdom is like a seed. That word of the kingdom tells us that Jesus died for all, and that Jesus will ultimately, through a kingdom that he's going to establish, will undo the work of Satan and give every human being an opportunity to get back what Adam lost by disobedience. That word of the kingdom also includes the opening of the narrow way. As Jesus said, that if anyone will follow me, take up his cross, he will be with him. In other words, the word of the kingdom also says that those who are faithful in this gospel age will share with him in this wonderful work that he's going to do in the next age. Yes, to become a part of the great physician, the one that will really cure all the world's ills. And so, in the Lord's providence, we heard this word, some form or other, everybody's different perhaps, but that word of the kingdom made us think. Perhaps it's the first time we ever thought seriously about anything of that kind. And we thought, well, that's the most wonderful thing I ever heard of, that God is actually going to intervene and solve the great problems that plague humanity. And, of course, the more we thought about it, the more serious we became. And if we were quite worldly, it began to change our life just a little bit. We realized that there were certain things that we used to do that just wouldn't be right in that kingdom, and so we began to sort of clean up a little bit. And as we thought about it more and more, we began to think, well, I ought to do something about this wonderful message, this wonderful thing that's going to happen. I ought to do something about it. Then we began to realize, well, it's going to cost us something. We realized from the word that we were to count the cost. That was the Lord's word. And so we began to think about it, and we knew it was going to cost us something. But finally, we found from the Lord's word that we would have enough to finish this building. You remember our Lord used that illustration about the man that started to build and couldn't finish it. Well, we found that we would have enough. Not by ourselves, but we would have enough because the Lord has promised that everything we need, he would supply us. And then finally, we did make that decision. We said, I ought to follow the Lord. I ought to serve him, but we said, I will. And there's a very great difference, you know, between something we say we ought to do or we'd like to do, and when we say we will do it. And that, we believe, when that was spirit begotten, that desire to serve God became a determination. And under God's providence, that was the beginning of the new creature. A little bit like the case of the doctor, a young man, when he made that determination. Of course, in his case, that was simply something that happens quite often in people's lives. But the big thing here was that this is something that was recognized by God, something that was authorized by God. It was his beginning of work in us. And so there we have the beginning, just as our pastor pointed out. The beginning of the new creation is just a newly begotten will. That determination, that is the thing that started the new life. And I like to think about that as the germ of the new creature, that determination. Because that is something that has got to continue with us right up to the end. If at any time our determination comes to an end, why, we're no longer in the new creation. Now, that is just exactly what our Lord said about those that were of this divine family. Those that hear the word of God and do it. Isn't that exactly what it means when we made that determination? I'm going to do God's will as it is recorded in his word and as it is exemplified in our Lord's own life and experience. Now we know that any determination, good or bad, is a great power in a person's life. If somebody says, I'm going to get even with that person, well, now that determination, that might become an evil, might cause them to commit a crime even. On the other hand, a person may have a good determination. I'm going to finish this job no matter what. Well, that's a good determination, and it is a power. And we find even in the Old Testament, when Nehemiah was building the wall, we read there, or rather Israelites, it says the wall was finished because the people had a mind to work. There was that determination, that power of the will. And so, just like with that young man, when he started to become a doctor, here was that determination. And it was the beginning of life. And it was a very great power. And it's especially true in this determination to serve God, because this determination is of God himself. It's begotten by God, it's inspired by his word, and it's a very great power in our life. But there's more to the new creation than just a newly begotten will. That, of course, is the most important. And we take that illustration of a doctor again. Just what is a doctor? Is a doctor this the body that he has? I think we realize it isn't, because you can't tell a doctor by his appearance. Some of them are small and others are big and various dimensions of all kinds. Well, that doesn't make a doctor. What is it? It's something he has up here in his mind, isn't it? It's something that he has developed a knowledge of human anatomy, and he has developed a certain skill in his profession, and above all, it's his willingness to work at his profession. If at any time, even no matter how skillful he is, no matter how much knowledge he has, if at any time he loses that will to work at his profession and say, well, it's too hard, I don't like the night hours and so forth, well, he simply becomes an ex-doctor. So we see how the same thing applies to the new creation. It starts with that all-important determination, the newly begotten will. But then we must, as the scriptures show, we must grow in knowledge. We told the Lord that we're going to do whatever he told us to do when we consecrate. But if we don't know what his will is, we certainly can't do it. We may have a very great determination, but if we don't know his will, we're not going to be able to do it. We will be just exactly like the Israelites were at the first advent, recorded in Romans 10:2, where it says they had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And so we know that they didn't please him. Knowledge is important, according to the Bible. And so we believe that we have to know God's plan. We have to continue to know about this wonderful word of the kingdom that is given to us when it first interested us. And so we grow in knowledge. We grow in knowledge of His will, not only what He's going to do for the world, but also what He wants us to do in our own personal lives in connection with our everyday experiences. And so in that way we grow in knowledge. But we also must grow in experience. Experience is very important. Our Lord brings that to our attention when He says that we must be doers of the word and not hearers only. And He suggests that we might deceive ourselves if we would do a lot of studying and think we know all about things like that. And if we don't put into practice those things, why, we're just fooling ourselves. So we grow in experience. We grow in experience in combating the old nature. That's one of the things that we have to get experience with. Perhaps at the first we don't realize how subtle the old nature is and how it brings reasonings to bear against the new creature, the new will. We learn to get experience and knowledge in trusting God. We learn to get skill and experience, knowledge in telling others about this great plan. At the first, perhaps you'll be like I am. I remember I told somebody, well, no matter, whatever, you'll never understand these things. I was just impatient, but gradually I tried to learn to look at it from their standpoint and to try to use as much tact as I could and all that. But we get skill and experience in knowing how to present the truth in a way that will appeal to the other person's mind. That, I think, is very important. And so all of these things together, we develop a character that is pleasing to God. It is this, and we put into practice all the wonderful admonitions of love and justice and mercy and temper them all together in an even balance, why we develop a character that is very much like and should be like our Lord's character. In addition to all that, we must maintain that determination. Because at any time that determination to do God's will ends, why, all that we ever developed might be lost, unless the Lord brings hard experiences and bring us back to our senses again. So all of this, you see, is in our mind. The determination is in our mind. The knowledge is in our mind. The experience is right up in our mind. And we believe that this is physically put on the brain of the earthen vessel. In the June Dawn, there was quoted an article about a scientist who said that every experience, every conscious experience that we ever had is recorded on the brain and under certain circumstances can be played back like a taped TV show. Now, I think this is confirmed by a scripture in 2 Corinthians 3:3, which speaks about the epistle of Christ. It says, "Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink." He was comparing it, you see, with the tables of stone in which the law was given to Moses. Not in tables of stone, or not literal paper, but he says, "with the Spirit of the living God." It's the Spirit of God, you see, the invisible power of God working in various ways, in cooperation with our own will and determination, that does this work. But then it says it's written not on tables of stone, but on fleshly tables of the heart. I think that word fleshly is important. It suggests to my mind that it's right here in this earthen vessel. Some way or other, I don't know how it's done, but I do believe that the experiments that they're making do show this fact, that it is written right upon the brain of this earthen vessel. That's all we have now, you know. We haven't the new body. Scriptures show that if anything would happen to this earthen vessel, why, we would be without a home even. So here, this earthen vessel is important. So this seems to me quite a wonderful thought, that this earthen vessel, as we read in 2 Corinthians 4:4, we have this treasure, this new mind which is begotten of God and by the knowledge of God that we have in this earthen vessel. And he says this one reason we have it, this treasure in earthen vessels, is that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. If at any time we begin to think that, well, look how much I am or how much I know, well, then the Lord can just simply let us show us by experience that this is really His and that all we have is the earthen vessel. But this is a wonderful arrangement that the Lord has. And in the first resurrection, we believe that then all this will be reproduced on the, shall we say, the brain of the new body. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it does have a brain, but regardless of how it is impressed in some way, and that is the character of our Lord that has been developed in likeness to Him. This will be reproduced in a new spiritual body. We'll have the same character, with the exception of all those earthly failings will be a thing of the past. The Lord said He's going to present this church to Him without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. It's going to be absolutely perfect. But the important thing, you see, is that we're having this done right now. This, if you want to say it's like a tape, it's running all the time, every day in our experience. That tape that records what we say and do and think and all these things, what motive actuates that is all put down there. And it's all being done day by day. That's what He says here when He says, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day, every day. If we permit it, these things, this new creature is going to be renewed and strengthened. Yes, this earthen vessel, it does get tired, it does get weak, and it does fade away. We're not as strong as we were a year ago, and all of us realize that. But if this new creature, this inward man, is renewed day by day, what matters it? We know that we'll have sufficient strength for this earthen vessel to finish our course. The Lord is not going to let it wear out too soon. We'll have that as long as we need to finish this course that we have, and that His work will be done in it. So this fleshly tables of the heart, it continues to record these wonderful things. Now, coming back to the successful medical student, he had to forego many things when he went to college. There were times, perhaps, when he had a specially hard subject to study, and he thought, well, it'd be just nice if I could just sort of forget it tonight and go out and not think about it, have a good time. Well, if he was successful, I'm very sure that he would have to deny himself of many things. There were many things that he would like to do that he just couldn't do. And that's the same thing is true with us. Our chief business requires that we lay aside every earthly weight, whatever it is. It's different from different ones. But no matter what it is, as soon as we recognize that it's a hindrance to the new creature, it becomes our duty and our privilege to lay it aside as much as we can and to see to it that the new creature has the ascendancy in all these things. As we make it our business, you know, sometimes I remember a man I worked for, he wants something done, and he says, now you make it your business to do this. In other words, he was telling me that that was the thing that I had to do. Well, I think that's a good thing for us to do, to make it our business to do the Lord's will. As our Lord said on one occasion, to seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. And as we do that, why, the new determination is going to be stronger. We said the power of the will is a very great thing in everything. It's one of the things that the Lord has arranged in His intelligent creation. The power of the will is so great. And if it's just submitted to the Lord and He directs it, why, it can do such a marvelous thing as to create this new creation that will actually be on the divine plane. It's a very marvelous thing that the Lord can do. And this, you see, strengthens our determination. We already heard about this marvelous heavenly vision that the Apostle Paul had on the way to Damascus. And I think if we can keep the divine plan, that heavenly vision of what God is going to do for the world and what we can do in helping our Lord being with Him, If we can keep that vision clear before us, it's going to strengthen that determination. Because if we see the earthly things, if we see the great things of the earth, why, that's apt to blur the vision of the heavenly things. But the more clear we can get that heavenly vision, why, the more that determination that we have is going to continue and be a power in us. This, in turn, you see, gives us experience thinking about it, and that, in turn, strengthens the determination. Now, this medical student, he had to do a lot of practicing in the laboratory. I don't know much about it, but enough that I do know that in all education, there's the getting the theory first, and then the actual putting into practice. And so this medical student had to do a lot of practice in actual experience, getting to, from the studies, the things that he learned in the books, to actually put that into practice. Well, and that's the way he got actual experience. Now, while the Bible doesn't say we have a laboratory, it seems to me we have what is the same as a laboratory for developing us as a new creature. And that, I suggest, is our daily contacts with people of all kinds. We all have contacts with this person and that person. Some people are sort of encouragers. Other people just the opposite. They repel us. They seem to just arouse in us something, antagonism or whatever it is. But that is where we learn to put into practice those things that we actually, that we read about, that we know to be God's will. And it's there, you see, that it's the most difficult thing. We get actual experience. We have our neighbors, our family, our friends, yes, even the brethren. They have to have experiences. We have to put into practice those things that are told to us in the Word. And isn't it there that we really learn? There we learn to be doers of the Word. That is why it is so important. That is where we actually meet opposition. And that's where it really the test comes. Are we going to really be doers of the Word, or is it just a theory with us? So this, we believe, is very important. And sometimes in just the little things, you know, even in driving a car, there's so many things that sort of exasperate a person. They do things that just seem, well, why do they do it? Well, and sometimes I've been helped by, well, suppose somebody ahead of me is kind of hesitating, why doesn't he go ahead? Well, then I remember that sometimes I'm in a strange city and I don't know just exactly what's ahead, so I kind of drive just the way he does. Well, if I think about that, why, it helps me. And so that is true with so many things. And this is a part of the necessary experience, we believe. It's a part of our experiences that will make us sympathetic with others, and it will also develop in us the fruits that the Lord wants in us. There will be the place where we can actually put into practice the principle of exact justice. I remember Brother Russell said that we need to do a lot of practicing on that string. He likened it under the 10-string harp, on that string of justice. Exact justice to the other person, and not expecting them to give us exact justice. And that's difficult. It's so natural, you know, to feel that, well, if they do good to me, well, I'll do good to them. But when they do something that's not right, for us to take it and not to retaliate and all that, why, that's different. Then we learn that very important quality of mercy, to think about, just like our Lord, how merciful the Heavenly Father is with a poor, groaning creation. That's something that we can do a lot of thinking and a lot of putting into actual practice, just on that quality of mercy. We know that the majority of them know nothing about God at all. We know that another thing that's helped me recently is that scripture that says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. So who am I to blame somebody that doesn't accept the things that I tell them? It just doesn't seem right, does it? When no matter what they do, they simply can't come to the Lord until He invites them in this age. Well, that being the case, I think I can be very merciful, or try to. And then when I remember that at one time I didn't know a thing about these things myself, and I wasn't interested, then in the Lord's time, why, I began to see those things. It didn't come to me by myself, I know that, because I didn't study and dig it out, but in the Lord's own time, why, He invited me, and I tried to follow in the way that He led me. So we see then how in this laboratory, how we get the necessary experience in putting on these qualities and in taking some things the way the Lord took them. Remembering, as He said, that God says, vengeance belongeth unto me. So if we see something that we're pretty sure that somebody has done wrong, maybe we're wrong about it ourselves, maybe we concluded wrong. But anyway, regardless of that, it's not our duty to execute vengeance. That's the Lord's business. Maybe He'll use us in the next age when we know enough about it to do that, but not now. So that helps quite a little, I believe, to say, well, no matter what happens, it's not my business. And maybe that I have been trying to read the heart when I couldn't do it. I've had experiences like that, especially in my early days. I decided that certain brethren, well, they were just doing things that weren't right, and they were not studying enough, and this and that. Well, the Lord helped me in opening certain to see that they actually were doing the best they could, and that helped me a lot. So here we have this laboratory of daily contents, whereas we're told in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. My, how much there is in that. Just that wonderful, the examples that we have there. Now, this medical laboratory was under supervision. I don't think that, in fact, I'm sure that they wouldn't permit the medical students to go there and just experiment with anything they chose. No, they had certain experiments that had to be conducted which would teach them. And so we believe the Missouri laboratory was under the supervision of experienced teachers who already knew themselves. So we believe our experiences are under the Lord's supervision. I think this is true, especially from Romans 8:28, that where it says that all things, we know, it says that all things work together for good to them that are the called according to His purpose. Notice that qualification. And if you continue on, you'll see that He's talking about the new creature, because He's speaking about being conformed to the image of God's dear Son. In other words, the things are working together for good as new creatures. It may not, and quite often is not, pleasing to the flesh. But it is, if we take it rightly, it is intended to make us more and more like His dear Son. And that would include the Gethsemane experiences also. The more I think about how glad I am that the Lord, that the Bible records the Gethsemane experience of our Lord. To me, it shows exactly the conflict that we have. Remember how our Lord expressed His choice. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Well, that's what I'd like to have, our Lord said. I'd like to just get out of this particular experience. And we believe that that's, He asked three times, asked the Lord. But every time He won a victory. And the important thing, you see, was that He finally said, not my will, but thine be done. You see, that brings us down to our own experiences. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, the Lord was perfect, and it's so much easier for Him because of His perfection. But I think that's not quite right. It is true, it was He was able to do things we couldn't do, but His trials were that much harder. So we do believe that He did actually have a hard experience. And when we finally say, in every experience, not my will, but thine be done, then you see we gain a victory. Then we get a little more experience in overcoming this old nature, and the new will is stronger than ever. That, you see, is the gradual development of this new creation, which is really God's creation. He says the outward man would perish. Though the outward man perishes, yes, this outward man, this earth, earthen vessel does get weaker and weaker. It does perish. And that is, we believe, that it's quite likely that Paul felt that too. As he got older, he felt his energy leaving him. Remember in one case he said, being such a one now as Paul the aged. Here he started out as a young man, full of energy, zeal and everything. Now he'd gotten to the point where he was Paul the aged. Well, he was telling us practically the same thing here. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. That is the really important thing. I kind of think he meant that not only with the physical body, but the old habits also gradually perish. And we're glad of that too. There are things that as we continue trying to serve the Lord, there's certain things that troubled us very much at the beginning. They finally perish too. But then we have other things that cause us equal trials. So as we are living nearer to the Lord, why, we find that that is the way the Lord works in us. Yes, at the same time, this inner man is renewed day by day as we study God's wisdom, as we more and more find details. I'm sure every one of us realizes that we are learning all the time. Every convention I go to, I learn something. Some scripture that some brother points out, or some explanation or something. Not new light, as the term is used today especially, but I mean you understand certain things there that I never saw before. And I sincerely hope that I'll be able to do that as long as I'm this side of the veil, because I know that I have so much to learn. And the point is that the Lord is going to see to it that we have this experience and that experience. One time it may be prosperity to test us. Are we going to be so taken up with things of the world or something that we sort of cool off to the Lord? Or other, is it going to be on the other hand? Are we going to be so burdened with the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and those things that we simply do not make the effort to serve Him anymore? The Lord is testing us in every way, His own way, not our way for somebody else, but in His own way, so as to make sure that eventually we'll be like the Apostle Paul when he was going to Jerusalem and they were telling him every place he went, now, you're just going down there into trouble. They're going to do this for you and you're going to have an awful time. Well, he said, don't make me weep. He said, remember one case, he said, what made me to break my heart? And so on. But he says, none of these things move me. And that's the condition, you see, that the Lord wants His people to get into. When, no matter what it is, no matter what people say about us or anything like that, that purpose is going to be there and steadfast. And only the Lord knows when that point of crystallization is reached so that He can trust us with the divine nature. And when that comes, then we believe, unless the Lord has some other work for us here, why, then He will say, come up higher. And the new and the old are contrasted. This is another thing I'm very thankful for, too, that the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 7, 22 and 23, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's a new creature. He just delighted in these wonderful things. I think when he said the law of God here, he wasn't talking about the Ten Commandments merely, but about the summation of those commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, being, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. I think that's the law he delighted in. Well, he says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. There you see is that conflict. And that's what I think most of us have in one way or another. Perhaps we would like to be relieved of that conflict. But if we did, we'd never be overcomers, because that's one of the things that we have to overcome, is those very things. And only the overcomers, you know, are going to be seated with Christ in His throne, as He says, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in His throne. So here we have the new and old are contrasted. And it's going to mean that we're going to have that as long as we're this side of the veil. As far as I can see, that's the main purpose. of our being this side of the veil is so that this new creature will develop. And when you think about it, the great power of God, that he can take one that was way down in the miry clay of sin and raise him up and eventually put him right next to his son himself. Well, it's only the great power of God that can do such a thing. It's the power of the resurrection, not only the resurrection of the new divine body, I believe, but the power of enabling and helping those that are willing to be developed right here and while we have this earthen vessel, so that we can eventually be made the new creatures in the complete sense of the word, having the divine nature. So this earthen vessel has tendencies that oppose the new creature. He said, here I see another law in my members, which is against the law of my mind. But we have to keep fighting that. That may be evil surmises, thoughts of self, thoughts about my rights, this is my right, and so forth. Well, all those things, you see, may hinder the new creation. And the old nature tries to get back to life again. The old nature, you see, appeals to the natural tendencies of the earthen vessel. And so there's that conflict. But it's this conflict, you see, that strengthens the new creature. And so as we come together in these conventions and as we learn God's will more fully, and then we go out perhaps tomorrow, in many of your cases, you go out into the world, contacts that may tend to discourage you as you go out there, you try to put these things into practice, make a sincere effort, why, that's where you actually become doers of the word, and in that way you develop. So in the resurrection, the first resurrection, this new creature, this new Christian character, which is written on this fleshly tables of the heart, will actually have that, shall we say, in a permanent form, in a form that will never need to be concerned anymore. But right now, we're in this time when we ourselves are deciding our eternal issues by how we learn and how we receive experiences, what we do about this and that. And remember, also, not to be discouraged, that the Lord looks at what you try to do, what you try sincerely to do, and not at our weaknesses. He does look at the spirit that actuates us, our efforts to do his will. And if those efforts are sincere, even though they may be weak at times, the Lord watches that and he helps us. And he's given us great promises. And you see, if we do that, we will eventually become a part of the great physician. By our actual experience here, in overcoming things and getting the right the patience of the Lord and all these things, developing them well, we'll be able to use those things in helping the poor groaning creation in the next age. So may we continue to keep this thought of the new will and actually learning God's will and that way developing as new creatures day by day until the Lord finally says it's enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Sunbaum. We appreciate the efforts put forth by you in preparing these thoughts, coming all the way from Michigan to serve. What Brother Sunbaum had to say, and what others have to say at this convention so far, affects all of us. All of us here who are in different stages of development. There may be some of you amongst us who have not yet made your decision, a decision such as Brother Sunbaum mentioned early in this talk. We trust that this convention, the things spoken here at this convention and served to you, will enable you to make just that decision. You've had contact with the Lord's Word, the Lord's people, and a wonderful message has come to you. You have a wonderful opportunity. We trust that the words spoken will beget in you a desire to strive for this highest reward. And the things spoken from this platform, both by Brother Sunbaum and others, were food for the babes in Christ amongst us, and for the young and immature Christian. Also for those of us who are men and women in Christ Jesus. Those of us who are on the way perhaps and have been discouraged and fallen and stumbled. Those of us who perhaps are strong and somewhat self-sufficient. All of these amongst us have in some way or other been served. We trust when you leave here that you will make use of this food according to your needs and appropriate it so that you can be strengthened and continue in this decision faithful to the end. Brother Sombam has chosen hymn number 105 to close this service.
Those of you who can.